Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph, and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem, or Shechem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and he drew near to behold it. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the witness, in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is mine, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed their teeth on him, But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I hope you will remember what we said last hour when we were talking about the ordination of those deacons to their office and take a look at this deacon. Take a look at this theologian. Take a look at this preacher. Take a look at this man who indeed is, well, he comes not behind any one of the preachers and teachers of his age. He is indeed a strong theological man. So, when he is asked then the question, are these things so? In other words, have you been teaching and preaching Jesus Christ? Have you been saying that he will tear down the temple? Have you been indeed performing miracles and leading the people away from us? And so then Stephen takes up his testimony. It is, I don't know if you caught it, but it is very interesting, the outline that he chooses. I don't think he has prepared. I don't think he went back to his home and studied in anticipation of this day. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. He said to them that they will be brought before councils, but don't take any thought beforehand as to what you will say, for the Spirit of God will give you a mouth and words to say in that day. And no doubt, the genius that we see here from Stephen's sermon is the genius of the Holy Spirit. So, this is more than just a recounting of the history of Israel. This is a very selective recounting. He chooses only, really, two eras. He chooses the era of the patriarchs, and he chooses the era of Moses. And he has a very specific reason for doing so. And in the interest of time, I'm going to skip over a lot just so we can drill in to that specific purpose. When he talks about Joseph, notice what he says, that Joseph was a man whom God set up, who they rejected, his brothers, and yet he ended up being their deliverer. That's the point. The point is to show exactly the sins of these people, this Sanhedrin here today. Joseph was raised up by God among his brethren. They were jealous of him. They were going to kill him. Instead, they sold him into slavery. God was with him. He went into Egypt. He became the ruler of the free world, of the known world of those days. And his brethren came to him, and he became their helper and in a sense, their savior. You see the point? Jesus Christ, a man approved of God and set up in their midst. They betrayed, they sold into slavery, and yet he it is who is their Savior. And as the brethren came back to Joseph and bowed to him and received the help and repented, so should they. That's the point. The second is Moses. And what does he say to about Moses? Does he talk about all the greatness that Moses had in the wilderness and leading in the building of the tabernacle? No. Doesn't talk about any of that. He tells us some things that are not particularly in the narrative, the inspired narrative out of Exodus, because there's something that he's focusing on, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit gives us details that are not there, because there's a specific point to his sermon here. And that is that when Moses was 40 years old, he rose up in the midst of his brethren while yet in Egypt, and first of all slew an Egyptian that was mistreating an Israelite, and then tried to settle a judgment between two Israelites. In other words, Moses hoped in those days that the children of God would recognize him as their deliverer, and they did not. Instead, they refused him. They rejected him. And so Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and went out into the wilderness. But 40 years later, he came back and was their, in a sense, savior, their deliverer. That's right. They rejected him. He came to them. They rejected him. And then he came back. And they believed in him. And they followed him. And as we've read and heard just a few weeks ago, they were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so what is the point? The point is that although Moses was rejected, that he too rose up to be their deliverer and their savior. Isn't that exactly the point that Stephen is making in Joseph and in Moses? That here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came as their savior. And what have they done? They have rejected him. But as Joseph was accepted, and as Moses was accepted, it's not too late.
you can receive him yet as your deliverer and your Savior. That's what Stephen puts forward.
And as he sees then, during the recounting of all of this, that they are not hearing him, he says, you are like your fathers who resisted the Holy Ghost by resisting Joseph and by resisting Moses. You are like them. Now that's in a nutshell exactly what Stephen is doing here. It's not simply a showing off and a recounting of the history and to say this is nothing new. He is saying all of that, but it has a very specific point. The specific point is that at every course in our history, when the Lord has raised up a man to be our deliverer, we have thrust him from us. And yet the Lord, in his mercy, did not take him away entirely, but allowed a time of repentance and renewal. That's this day too. That's what he's telling them. But they would not hear it. They would not hear it. And so the end of the chapter tells the truth of the narrative, that they rose up and they took him outside and they stoned him until he died. And that Stephen died not calling down curses upon them, but he died begging the Lord for mercy regarding them. And he was calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Stephen's sermon is about. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.